Hello, Idaho. It's Ashley Jackson, and today I have on the most amazing woman. Her name is Jamie Perryman, and right now she is Mrs. Treasure Valley. But let me tell you what, she is so much more than that title. I want to read you this because this is impressive. She's a licensed FAA drone pilot, co-founder of Perryman Construction Management, and director of multi-state residential investment portfolio. She earned her bachelor's degree in geology from St. Louis University, a decision prompted after taking an elective course in earthquakes and volcanoes, and a lifetime of collecting rocks, which I love this about her, right? She's my soul sister because we both collect rocks. While attending her undergrad, she participated in both track and boxing, nicknamed Barbie because she refused to smear Vaseline on her face, a common practice in the boxing world. She always showed the boys what real life hit felt like while sparring. After relocating to Boise, Idaho, Jamie received her master's in secondary education and quickly became the owner of her first international business. All of this was accomplished before the age of 30. Can you even believe that? So, welcome, without further ado, Miss Jamie Perryman.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Ashley.
You're welcome. I'm so excited to have you on today. You know that I am extremely committed to leadership in our communities and seeing any age of a human being, if they decide they want to lead in their community, to do that. So I brought you on here today because I know you have a very special message to share with people, and I'm going to let you take it away.
Yes. So as Mrs. Treasure Valley and being my second time ever in a pageant, one of the things I needed to, I guess, realize is that leadership was key, and grateful and thankful for the experiences that I've had that brought me up to the point of participating in the pageant that prepared me for leading and being a leader, specifically leading with love. And what that means is loving yourself first. And once you're filled with love, that love radiates out of you to others around you, your community, your neighbors, even your family, your household, your children. Mm-hmm. And I used three steps to help me achieve this process. Most of it came from the grieving loss of my mom. And I was very angry at the world and felt that the world owed me things. And that wasn't true at all. And it really came down to I didn't love myself. And I realized I needed to leave it, live it, and love it. So I needed to leave the past behind me and forgive myself and others for those lessons learned on this journey we call life, and live it by living in the present moment and practicing that. For some, it might be prayer, meditation, breath work, walking, exercise, whatever that might be. And the third being to love it, celebrate those small wins and victories to manifest more in life. And when you implement all three, at least what I found, is that I was able to release judgment of myself and others and just be better and just love.
This is powerful. Okay, so how old are you right now? Let's just...
I always have to think. I usually have to ask my husband. I'm like, how old am I?
I love you.
I'm a 30-something-year-old grandma.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Amazing.
I'm so excited. It's fun. I got to see him this past weekend, and it just brought me so much joy. It was just amazing.
Okay. Tell us about your family really quick, because I have to know now.
Yes. So my husband's 18 years older than me, and I have a blended family. We are perfectly imperfect, and I have a beautiful, handsome, I should say, an amazing 11-year-old boy. And I have two quote-unquote stepdaughters. It's hard to call them that because we're roughly the same age.
Okay.
And a son-in-law. And, you know, I consider them more of like friends and family at the same time, but we have more of a friendship.
Beautiful. How long have you been married?
We're going on 4 years. What day is it? Is
congratulations.
Tomorrow my
anniversary? I love you.
I think it's tomorrow. I think tomorrow's my anniversary. It's either tomorrow or the next day.
Can you relate to this? People out there listening can totally relate to this, right? The world is going so fast. Okay. So I'm just going to take a step back. So you grew up in life and you had a hard life or an easy life. How did you, like, people get involved in pageants for all different reasons, but what happened in your younger life?
I was the complete opposite of what you would think of, and still am sometimes when you think of pageant, other than, like, you know, me being all dolled up and sitting in front of you. But usually I'm the one ice fishing or, you know, playing in the mud. And growing up, we had a forest behind our house, so I was always in the woods playing and getting dirty and riding bikes. I grew up in a town so small that it was called a village. It was outside of Chicago, and it's best known for producing PBR beer and the IKEA closest to Chicago.
Okay.
So it's been on the map a few times, but not for the best of reasons lately. Like, I think the United Airlines, the former CEO or something like that, like, was found deceased in this small town. Yeah.
So was it rough town when you grew up there? No,
it's not rough at all.
It was like a country farm town.
Oh, it's just a beautiful community. I didn't know I was different than anyone else in that community until I moved to Kentucky. Ooh. And in fifth grade, I was called the N-word in school. And I was like, Mom, what's the N-word? And she's like, who said that? And yeah, so.
And then from where'd you go from Kentucky?
So from Kentucky, I went to California for a few months. And then I went to St. Louis, and from St. Louis, I went to Houston. I worked for BP in remediation management during the oil spill, and then back to St. Louis, and I was pregnant during this time. And then my husband at the time and I decided St. Louis wasn't the best place to raise a child, as it was battling with Detroit for the number one most dangerous city in the U.S.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and so we felt it was best to get out of there, and he had been, my now ex-husband, had been working in Boise with his firm, and they were like, hey, why don't you just transfer out here and get a promotion? He was like, yeah, sounds good. So it all worked out, and we came to Boise.
What year was that?
That was in 2012.
Oh, wow.
So I've been here for 10 years.
Yeah.
I've been told that by locals that that means that I can be considered a local.
Absolutely.
So I'm not.
You're welcome here all the time.
That's
Well, that's silly. You're Idaho people are Idaho people, right? You come here for freedom. You come here for reasons.
Right. Right.
And we all are a community here. So yes.
Absolutely.
I love Idaho people. And you are Mrs. Treasure Valley. Are you kidding me? So it's so incredible to me, for anyone who's listening, or especially if you're young or old, to imagine you moving around the country, having this incredibly interesting life experience, right? Most people never get to see the things you've probably seen. And so as a young person that's listening to this, if they were to want to get involved in their community right now, how would you suggest, like, what are three things they could do to get involved in their community?
If I'm speaking to, let's just say, anyone that's still in school, whether it's
under
college
18,
or...
Any school age. You can always go to school.
All right. That's right. That's very true. I would say start with getting involved in clubs in your school, in your organization. Find clubs, organizations, maybe join a team. If there's a sport that you might be interested in, and maybe you're not even that good at the sport, but that's okay. At least you're trying and you're out there, and who knows, maybe there was just like a few adjustments that needed to be made for you to excel in that sport or activity. The third thing I would say is just ask organizations, just ask. My dad, Sergeant Major, he would always tell me the answer is always no until you ask. And so I'm one to ask. And if I get told no, depending on what it is, I might be okay with it. Other times I might be like, okay, I'll just go do my own thing, or I'll ask someone else until I'm told yes.
Right, so. Right. And that takes courage and confidence. How do you cultivate courage and confidence if you don't have any? If you're scared?
I mean, everything is scary, right? Like, there's always some sort of underlying fear, but don't let that fear overcome you. And when you love yourself first, you don't think about those negative thoughts that manifest fear. When you're loving yourself and you're vibrating at a frequency of love for yourself, you're
it's okay.
more.
Eat the microphone.
Sorry.
I love it too. It's okay. You're loving the microphone.
When you manifest that love for yourself within yourself, it radiates out of you, and you just drop the judgment. You drop caring what other people think. I mean, sure, not to say sometimes my feelings don't get hurt at things, because I am a human, but there's always a lesson in that. It was, what did I need to release? Because I'm not responsible for this person's idea or thought or judgment that they have of me.
That concept is hard and foreign to a lot of people though, right? But you're a living example of that. A 30-something-year-old, 18, you know, you just really have a story that speaks to people. We're not all the same. We're all different. We all have so many facets, right? And so that's powerful. So get involved. You want people to show up, first of all, and ask, right? Ask people, how do I get involved? How can I get involved, right? That's a powerful question. And you'll never know until you ask them that. Maybe play a sport. Maybe do something they're uncomfortable with. Maybe go out for that team or that band or that thing that they just feel like, maybe, right? What if one day?
Right.
And why wouldn't they do it today? And has that been your main message, along with let it, what is it?
Tell me. Lead with love.
Lead with love.
mostly, like I said, leading with love is just starting with yourself and loving yourself first. And just that's where that confidence comes from, to get outside your comfort zone. That's where that confidence comes from, to ask the question, how can I help? That's where the confidence comes from, to accept the invitations to events and things like that, and showing up by yourself and not having your family or your friends or your sash sisters by your side. No safety nets.
Right. Yeah. Being confident, being uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah. But really, it's good to be uncomfortable, right?
It is. I think that's a necessary part of growth that we just don't talk about in society, right? And unfortunately, we have a really hard tragedy going on right now. And I probably should have mentioned that earlier, but my heart is breaking, right, for the people in Uvalde, Texas. And the reality is we have a mental health crisis going on, and our leaders are unwilling to address that. And that's probably the most painful part that I saw running for governor recently. I just had so many experiences where people would come to me and say, I don't know how to lead. I don't know what to do next. And I'm scared and I don't have any answers, and my leaders aren't providing me those kind of answers. Mm-hmm. So I feel so sad, because I really hear people when they say there's a mental health crisis, and guns don't kill people, right? People kill people. People that don't feel well kill people. And unfortunately, we've had to be the witness of that in this society. So having the hard conversations, I appreciate you coming on here today and having kind of this interesting, you know, weaving of your experience together. But I really wanted to show people that here is an example of someone living in the Treasure Valley in Boise, right? You live directly in Boise, and you have children, and you're thriving, and you're doing miraculous things for people. How do people get in touch with you if they want to get involved with you?
Yes, to get involved, right now I'm on Instagram as Mrs. Treasure Valley. That's MRS, because I'm married. So MRS Treasure Valley.
Okay, I love it. And do you have an email that people can reach out to you?
It is my first name, Jamie, at my last name, Perryman.biz, B as in boy, I as in indigo, Z as in zebra.
Awesome.
But I mean, if it's really important, probably shouldn't email me, because I do have quite a few unread emails.
Okay. Yeah. So like my favorite way to get a hold of people is probably Instagram. If you really need someone, you just message them.
Exactly.
Or you comment on their thing. Hey, I messaged you.
Yes. Because sometimes messages go to like this general weird spam box that you don't get to see. So yes.
Yes. So I kind of sidetracked because it's hard to talk about hard issues, but I do want to talk about this one just really quick. How do you feel about what's going on in Texas, and how do you feel about guns and things like this? You live in Idaho, and this would be a perspective that a lot of people would be interested to know.
Yeah. You know, what happened in Texas is absolutely heartbreaking. When I picked up my son from school yesterday, I'll be honest, I wasn't completely aware of what had happened until that evening, because I don't watch the news regularly. However, being on social media, I was like, oh no, something happened. And when I realized what it was, like, my heart broke. And I started thinking back to when I was working in the schools here in Boise, and Sandy Hook had happened, and just being in the schools and seeing that happen. And then soon after, like a month or so later, the school was put on lockdown because someone shot a bullet at some other school near the school I was working at. It was just the whole thing. And then obviously what happened here locally at the Boise Mall, I mean, it's hit close to home, and it shouldn't happen at all. However, we live in a society that this happens in, and it's heartbreaking. And I absolutely agree, there is a mental health crisis throughout our country, and this is probably linked to the opioid crisis as well in some cases, not all. And I believe that some places and some people and some departments and some government entities are taking the right steps. However, I do agree that it begins with leadership and it trickles down. For example, the Meridian Police Department just unveiled their mental health awareness police vehicle. And it was in memory of one of their officers that committed suicide while on the clock at the Meridian Police Department. And this was in 2018. And they, you know, unveiled this vehicle like a month or so ago. And I believe, you know, those conversations that were being had and the speeches that were given by leaders in the Meridian community of like, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to turn to a friend and be like, I'm not okay. I just need to cry, or I just need to talk. I just need to get it out. Or can you help me process this? Or I just need to vent. Those are the important conversations and the trust that we need to have amongst each other and mankind in order, I think, for this ball to start rolling, to start healing as a country.
And that takes powerful. And that takes people like you sitting on here saying it, right? It takes leaders getting on anywhere that they can and saying the right thing and leading us in the right direction. And I appreciate your insight on that. I didn't know that about the Meridian Police Department. That's powerful. Maybe we'll do some further investigation into that, because that would be powerful to have them on here, someone that championed that. Do you know if that vehicle is for people, like when they have a mental health call, that vehicle specifically goes, or how does it work?
So when I was there, they were saying they actually had two vehicles, and they said there's a few differences with the vehicles. You won't see, like, you know, the bar separating, you know, whoever's in the back seat from the front seat. The chair, or like the bench seat in the back, is soft. It's more inviting and welcoming.
Sure.
And so, yes, they do use these vehicles for transportation. They said for juveniles, or like for youth to and from school at times, or responding to a mental health crisis. And they had a mental health personnel on their team, as well as like two police officers that were trained in that specific field. And it's just nice to hear and see that steps are being made. And, you know, even if it's a slight step in the right direction, at least it's movement in
absolutely.
The right direction. Like, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all will,
and
right?
Yeah, at this point, we are desperately looking for leaders, desperately asking for mentors. So I appreciate you coming on here today. Just again, how can people get a hold of you if they want to? Can people come to you if they want to be in a pageant? Because they don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I knew nothing about pageants and last year, and I got first runner up, which is like third place. And I learned a lot, and I'm excited for this year. And if you have ever thought about being in a pageant, or were like, oh, I could never do that, then you need to do it, because it is awesome. The sisterhood is amazing. The friendships are just, they're going to last a lifetime. Like, I was texting some of my sisters late last night and early this morning about how excited I am to see them on June 4th in Idaho Falls.
Nice.
Again, my Instagram is Mrs. Treasure Valley, MRS, because I'm married. Mrs. Treasure Valley.
Yay. Okay. And you're going to Twin Falls on?
Idaho Falls.
Idaho Falls. I'm sorry. On?
I leave on the 1st and competition's on June 4th.
So it's right now.
I know. Oh yeah. It's right now.
Oh my gosh. I did know that, but like I forgot. And then I'm remembering, whoa. So you're, and you're at, what color is your dress?
It's white. Most pageant beautiful. Dresses
oh,
are white.
Yeah. I haven't been to a pageant. I got to go to a pageant now.
You need to come to. You need to be
I'm
in
gonna
the
sit
pageant.
In the front row and like cheer.
You're going to be in the pageant.
Oh my gosh, I'm not
year,
married,
actually.
So no.
We have a Miss division
a
unattached.
Miss, a
yes.
Miss. Oh my gosh, what do you win?
There's a ton of stuff. I'm taking out these microphones. There's a ton of stuff you can win.
And like, then what the do prize you do? Package. What do you like? What's your reign look like?
So you get to, I guess, create your reign, so to speak.
Like your platform.
Yeah, you create your platform. You get to do what you would like to do. However, you do compete at nationals for both the Miss division and the two Misses divisions that we have. So you do go to nationals, which is in Vegas on August 20th, and you compete there against, you know, 49 other women.
From across the country,
from
which
across
is super
the country.
Powerful.
Yeah, and then once you win Mrs. America or Mrs. American, then you go on to compete at Mrs. World. So then you're competing with women from all over the world.
Yeah, Mrs. America or Mrs. American.
Yes. So essentially the founders, one of the founders prior to passing away, he decided that whoever, let's see, how do I... kind of difficult to explain.
Interesting.
Without,
there's
like,
two.
Pictures.
It's okay.
Yeah. So this past year, we sent two America and two American title holders to Mrs. World.
Oh, I see.
Because of COVID. So usually it's only two.
Two.
So we actually have a Mrs. World that lives here in Boise.
What?
Yeah.
She was at the Business in Bubbly.
She was.
But they didn't tell who it was.
That's right.
Who was it?
I'm not going to say.
What? Hey, you can just Google it. I'm going to Google it right now.
She's awesome. She's also one of the directors with the pageant as well. She assists with that. And she received first runner-up at Mrs. America. And whoever won Mrs. America that year couldn't go to China to compete. Or overseas to compete. I think it was in China. And so she actually got to compete at Mrs. World and won. And because of this, they decided that, you know what, we need to have like two titles, like going to Mrs. World. So
that's powerful.
Oh, yeah.
So empowering women, empowering people, empowering women to do amazing things. So if you're young
Absolutely.
And you're like, I think I'm going to get in pageants. I did a pageant when I was in high school and I did it for the scholarship money. Right? I did like Junior Miss.
Yeah.
But you can do, I mean, it's just out of your comfort zone and it gets you out there and helps you experience the world.
Absolutely.
So.
We have a no mean girls policy. So
hey, look.
People think that women in pageants, they have a certain type of idea or stereotype about them. And here to tell them it's not true. Mm-hmm. Whatever you think, you know, Miss Congeniality or whatever, like, most of it's not true.
The media's ruined you again. It's true, right? There's some camaraderie that happens when we all help each other, right? You help
Absolutely.
The person to the right of you, you help the person to the left of you, and you develop some really powerful communities.
Yes.
Yay, Jamie. Thanks for being on here today.
Thank you so much. If you want
to find Jamie, sorry, I cut you off. No. Thank you so much. You're so grateful. I'm very grateful.
Just I'm so very grateful too. Thank you.
You're welcome. If you want to find Jamie, go to Instagram at Mrs. Treasure Valley. Correct?
Yes.
Mrs. Treasure Valley. MRS Treasure Valley. Thanks for watching today. I'll see you again next time. And remember, leadership is a learned skill. Get out there. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Hello Idaho. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe so you can see the next one. The episode has also been sponsored by cowboyoutlets.com, where you can get all of your Western wear needs, especially those boots you've been looking for, at a great deal.